ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Master, I brought unto thee my son who hath a dumb spirit. It is written, and oft times it cast him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. It is written, the Son of Man is delivered up into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he shall rise again. It is written, they had disputed one with another on the way, who was the greatest? It is written, and if thine eye cause thee to stumble, cast it out. It is good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became glistening, exceeding white, so as no fuller on earth could whiten them. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses, and they were speaking to him of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking the things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him unless from him we learn? Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this broadcast message entitled Voices from the Holy Mount.
For God is just a prayer away.
Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, and bring them up into a high mountain apart to pray. It seems that the Lord went to an awful lot of trouble just to pray. For some strange reason, we can get along with a lot less prayer than the Lord did. Now, at that time, while in prayer, Jesus was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his garments became white as the light, bright and dazzling. It must have been an awesome sight. However, there was a more astounding sight they had seen than that. It was what they had seen before he was transfigured. Before the transfiguration, they had seen the Lord of glory walking around encased in the body of a human being. The virgin birth was a great miracle, but so was the transfiguration. The transfiguration was just a matter of letting his deity shine through the rags of mortal flesh. Moses and Elijah also appeared in glory. They had been gone for hundreds of years, and yet they appeared before the Lord Jesus on the mountain. When the vision was over, the 3 apostles lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many today who, had they been there, would have lifted up their eyes and would have seen absolutely nothing at all. These are the folk who can hear the greatest gospel sermon. They can hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They can hear about the terms of pardon. Then they lift up their eyes and they see their denomination only, their preacher only, or they see nothing at all, except the score of yesterday's ball game. The score of the last game is a sum total of life. Nothing else matters. Now listen to the voices from the Holy Mount. The first voice we hear is the voice of Simon Peter. Peter wanted to stay on the mountain. He said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. I will make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." This is the indication of how the Christian will feel when they die. At the moment you die, you will be surrounded by the glory of the Lord's presence, and you will not want to return to this world. Like Peter, we will say at that time, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." You see, Peter was on a spiritual high. Sometimes we feel the same. We can almost feel the presence of the Lord Jesus. But for now, we cannot stay on the mountaintop. They had heard God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." But there was another Father at the bottom of the hill with an only begotten Son also, a Son that had a dumb spirit. He fell into the fire, then he fell into the water. He was dashed down and ground his teeth and foamed at the mouth. He needed help. So they could not stay on the mountaintop when people were throwing fits in the valley. The story of Mark in chapter 9 begins on the top of a mountain with the transfiguration, but it concludes in a reference to the depths of hell. Such terms are used at the end of this chapter as go into hell, cast into hell. Fire is not quenched. Sometimes preachers like to say that hell is separation from God in an effort to cool hell down a little bit and make it more acceptable to modern-day ears, and they are right, it is a separation from God. But when Jesus spoke of the eternal destiny of the lost, he did not use the term separated from God. He used such terms as cast into hell, hell of fire, and fire unquenchable. These words, coming from the lips of Jesus, stress the awfulness of the rejection of the gospel of Christ. As Christians, we cannot afford to stay on the mountaintops of our own spiritual satisfaction when we live in a world where people are throwing fits, having spasms, and headed for hell. Think of the national fit and spasm that the USA had when prayer was voted out of the school. Our beloved land was frothing at the mouth. People are being shot in the classroom. Others are being bushwhacked in church services. Is there any reason to think that these things could not happen in your school or your church in your area? The mission field is not necessarily in a faraway jungle. There is a jungle in suburbia. Or some of you live right here in America where you leave the church service, you are entering a mission field. We cannot stay on the mountaintop when they are throwing fits in the valley. Voices from the Holy Mount. Now listen again to the voices of Moses and Elijah. The appearance of Moses and Elijah is suggestive of the second coming of Jesus. The appearance of Moses, who died, reminds us that the dead in Christ shall arise first. The appearance of Elijah, who did not die, reminds us that we which are alive unto his coming shall together with them be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen to the voices of Moses and Elijah. What did they say? Well, what do people talk about when they come down from outer space, as Moses and Elijah did? In science fiction stories, when the flying saucer lands, and the little green men with spindle legs and bugged-out eyes approach an earthling, what do they say? Why, they say, "Take me to your leader." Moses and Elijah did not say, "Take me to your leader," because they knew Jesus was their leader. What did they say to their leader? If they had been like us, they would have asked such inane questions as, Lord, who is going to win the Super Bowl this year, or the World Series, or the basketball playoffs? As though the Lord would give a hoot one way or the other. No such questions were on the docket. They talked about the most important thing that ever happened on this planet. They spake of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. If people had any sense at all, the talk shows on television and radio would be riveted on such topics as repentance, acceptance of Christ, and what can we do to get the gospel out to a world that is going to hell as fast as if they were on a greased toboggan slide? They spake of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Jesus would accomplish that decease. Right after their descent from the mountain, Jesus indicates that he is the architect of the crucifixion. It was his idea. 8 days before this, Jesus had told of his decease and resurrection, and Peter rebuked him. Now Moses and Elijah come and discuss it with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Then after he comes down from the Holy Mount, he tells again how he would be delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And when they have killed him, after 3 days he will rise again. And then, after all of that, it is hard to believe, right after that the apostles got into an argument as to which of them is the greatest. Times have not changed too much. Jesus was the architect of the crucifixion. He would work through the unholy hands of men to get it done, but he is the one who devised, formulated, planned, invented, concocted, and thought it out in his own mind and heart and brain the decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. It was all his idea to save the world. They spake of his decease that he would accomplish. Voices from the Holy Mount. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the voice of God. The voice of God had a message. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The amazing thing about the message of God is that he did not say anything that he had not said before. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," at the baptism of Jesus. He said, "Hear ye him," through Moses, when he said, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you. Like unto me, to him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you." If it were announced today that the Almighty was going to speak in an audible voice at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, all the network news would tune in to hear what God has to say. At the end of the program, all the scholars would be poised and ready. They would dissect what God said and then tell us that God did not say what we thought he said, but that he really said something else. Actually, if God did speak from heaven in an audible voice today, the first thing that would happen would be every Christ rejecter would run for cover, just as Moses, or just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, when they heard the voice of God after they sinned. When Peter, James, and John heard the voice of God on the mountain, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. If Jesus or God Almighty would speak aloud today from heaven, a great cry of dismay will arise from all the Christ rejecters when they hear him shout as he descends. Many think that we need a high-tech gospel for a high-tech age. When we started on this broadcast about 40 years ago, there was a small church that started to help us on this broadcast. In the process of about 30 years, they increased in size to several hundred members. One day, they dropped their support, and a nearby preacher went and asked them why they stopped supporting this broadcast. He was told, "Now, Ed is a good preacher, and what he preached was good 30 years ago. But today, we need something different. Efforts are being made today to use marketing techniques to build the church, and it is true, you can market the church like soap. You can market a big crowd by soft soap, but there's no way you can soft soap people into repentance. You cannot soft soap conviction. You cannot soft soap people in being obedient to the terms of pardon. If the Lord would speak again today, he would not tell us anything that he has not already told us before. Peter said that God, by his mercy, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Voices from the Holy Mount. Next, we listen to the voice of the father of the child at the foot of the mountain. When they came down from the mountain, another father who had an only begotten son was waiting for the Lord Jesus. He told Jesus that his son was his only child. He was abused by a demon who threw him down, tore him much, cast him into the fire, and then threw him into the water. He said he had brought his son to the nine apostles at the foot of the mountain that they might cast him out, and he said they were not able. The apostles had no good reason for failing. Jesus had already given them the power to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cast out demons. He had already told them to go out and do it, and they did. Now here, nine of the apostles have failed to cast out one demon out of one little boy. Whatever the reason for their failure, it was not a good reason. You see, the world today is in trouble. If the troubled people of your community came to your congregation looking for answers, would they also go away and complain, "Lord, I came to your church to help me in my problems," and they couldn't do it? If the church is not making an impression on the troubles of your area, it is not because they don't have the resources. You have the Great Commission of Jesus. You have access to the Holy Spirit. You have the Bible with all the answers for any problem that is caused by sin. Our inability to cope with the world's sin problem may be because the Lord cannot do much with the church that simply doesn't care one way or the other. The church is filled with people who have been immersed, but who never repented. Hence, their baptism is null and void. What can the Lord do to heal the sin-sick world with a church that is no different in lifestyle than the world itself? What can the Lord do with a church whose conscience is made numb because they are fed with inspirational gospel entertainment and soft soap sermons week after week? I heard one man say one time, "I'm getting tired of going to church services and getting inspired every week. The inspiration," he said, "wears off before the week is over." And he said he has to go back the following week to get another shot of inspiration. The Lord cannot do much with a church that only wants a service that makes them feel good about themselves. It is true that the church needs to comfort the afflicted, but the church also needs to afflict the comfortable. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Voices from the Holy Mount. Here is something else the father of the boy said. When Jesus asked the father, "How long has this affliction been going on?" the father said, "From a child." The devil had been working on this child before he reached the age of accountability. Children are not in need of salvation. They live in a saved state while in their innocence. Jesus said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." There's no need to baptize an infant, for the simple reason that faith and repentance is required for a biblical baptism. You cannot believe for somebody else any more than you can breathe for somebody else. However, the devil is still making plans in advance to capture the innocent child later on. He works on the destruction of the innocent through the home. It is a dream of every family to buy a home. The bigger the house, the better. Four bedrooms, four-car garage, three baths, a corner lot, on large acreage, widescreen television, computers at least for the purpose of playing games. All of this bespeaks of the love of parents for their children. But to have such a home as this and neglect the house of God, that is the height of child abuse. Then the devil is allowed to work on the innocent child through education as well as the home. Parents show their love for the child in making plans for advanced education. The child must have access to a college education, financial plans made in advance. But at the same time, plans are not made for teaching the growing child the teachings of the Word of God. This is also the most cruel form of child abuse imaginable. Voices from the Holy Mount. Now the next voice we hear, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, the next voice we hear is the voice of the devil himself. When Jesus saw a great multitude come running to the scene of the apostolic failure to cast out the unclean spirit, Jesus commanded, "Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I command thee, come out of him, and enter into him no more." The deaf and dumb spirit came out, but not before he gave the child one more good whack. It says he cried out. This crying out was an inarticulate shriek, the final defiance against the Son of God. And as he came out, he threw the child down and left him as one dead. The devil had thrown the child in the fire before, and now he wants to throw him in the fire again. It is well to remember the devil's chief ambition is to see that we get thrown into the fire on the day of judgment. Jesus himself will give the order on that day for the unsaved when he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels." Even though we have salvation, you can depend on it, the devil will take another whack at you whenever he can. The devil is still crying out in defiance, in that inarticulate cry. He cries out. We hear his shrieks every day on the news and on the talk shows. Voices from the Holy Mount. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the last voice we hear is the voice of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has something to say at the bottom of the mount. The apostles ask him why they failed to cast out the demon. Jesus told them, "Because of your little faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a mountain-moving God. It may be that most of your prayers, like mine, are molehill prayers. But one day, many years ago, we prayed a mountain-moving prayer. The prayer resulted in this radio broadcast. After the prayer, we made a mistake that Paul says he did not make. We conferred with flesh and blood. We asked people, key people, for advice. They had knowledge in this area, and to a man, they all advised against it. One godly church leader told us, "You can never do it because you have two strikes against you. Strike one," he said, "was you don't have any money. Strike two is nobody knows you." The consensus was you will never be able to do it. Flesh and blood was wrong. There was somebody who did know us. There was somebody who could supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. By God's grace, we took the third strike. Actually, by means of the internet, this broadcast can be heard worldwide, pole to pole. The prayer was answered because we have a mountain-moving God. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the voices from the Holy Mount, and in the name of Jesus, speak to that mountain that stands in your way. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So it is written, so let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.